Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into the scriptures this evening, Heavenly Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And Father, we've got one here this afternoon to bring into thy ministry, Heavenly Father. We ask you now, Father, to keep him filled with thy Holy Spirit, to make him yours, Heavenly Father, and lead him along that pathway of righteousness. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right. Brother Dennis, for service this evening, we're going to be centered here on you. Get you here in this chair. Yeah. Lord. I'm going And this will anoint you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing this for his work. Take it in your life to fulfill his will, his way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Had our opening prayer, so we're going to get right into this. But this is not a 5 or 10 minute thing. Now, scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach, that no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word and conduct, in love and spirit, in faith and purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And that is 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 16. Now, put your hands on me. He is the minister. That's why he has got his hands on me. And he is in agreement with me and the church. With these questions, when I ask, you'll answer, I do, the Lord being my help. With each one of these questions. One, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life and make him number one? Do you accept the Bible as God's inspired, infallible, inerrant, immutable, indestructible, and indispensable word? Do you understand the requirements, responsibilities, and realities that are about to be placed upon you by being ordained and set apart as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready and willing to accept and assume the responsibility to pursue, preach, and practice God's word with boldness to minister to the needs of those to whom you are sent, without partiality, and to give yourself sacrificially and without reserve to educating, edifying, and equipping of the body of Christ? Will you endeavor to be diligent in the study of God's word, instant and faithful in prayer, an example in the Christian piety and discipline before your people and the community, in order that your life may be worthy Christian example, and that upon your ministry the blessing of God may rest? Recognizing the sacred responsibility of your call and aware of your own human weakness, will you seek the leadership and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order that you may be a faithful minister of him who has called you? All right, now, you're making a covenant right now with God and this ministry. All right, now with these charges, you will answer that, I will, with the Lord being my help, with each one of these charges. First charge, I charge you to pursue the Word of God. All charge Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, meditate on these things, give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Paul further charged Timothy to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I charge you to practice the word of God. Paul affirms this when he says this is a faithful saying. If a man desire the position of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, with good behavior, hospitality, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, at least being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness and faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputations, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, that God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
I will with word of my
own. I charge you to preach the word of God. You're called to be a preacher. Some assume the call to preach and do very little about it, becoming entangled with various professions of the world, and their ministry becomes a sideline. I believe it is proper to include in this chart that if you are called to be a preacher, then be a preacher. You are not called to be a politician, a school teacher, a businessman, or a social worker. You are a man of God called to preach. Paul final instruction to Timothy was, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
I will with the Lord's name.
All right. Now, the prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, this one that is here now, we ask for your anointing to be poured out upon him, Father, for him to be filled and overflowing with thy Holy Spirit, that you will guide him every day for the rest of his life in all things. May he always, before making any decisions, come before you, Heavenly Father, in order that he himself is always obedient unto your leadership, not looking to man, but looking unto you, Father. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. All right, now, the Lord exercised special care for his church by appointing the pastors. The pastor ministry is not an afterthought with God. This is something that is very serious. But a divine, designated, and designed office which meets the needs of the church. The pastor's office demands a uniquely qualified individual equipped with proper credentials. He must possess good natural and acquired abilities, deep and ardent piety, be especially called of God to the world, and ordained by prayer and laying on of hands, proper credentials which are prescribed by the scriptures, enable the pastor to preach the word, minister the ordinances, visit the flock, and perform the duties of the faithful minister. We both know that God calls you. He let both of us know that. He told me just a little bit before he told you. All right, now, got three more things here to read. Told you this wasn't no 5-10 minute thing. These you don't have to answer. They just like this. The pastor must be a godly man, possessed. This is your personal credentials, what you're supposed to have in you. Possessing and practicing the Christian virtue. He should be a man of irreproachable character, demonstrating truth, honesty, and general uprightness. He must be a gentleman. Paul reminds Timothy that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men. Gentleness is not a sign of weakness, but a necessary ingredient for the pastor who, without it, is lacking in sound personal credentials. The godly pastor is a gracious man. Pastors must manifest sensitivity and sensibility as they perform the work of the pastor's office. The gracious man is a helpful man. Two, his public credentials. The profile of a pastor includes his public credentials. He must have the reputation of a man of integrity among those who are not Christians if he is to reach them. The pastor, public testimony, is his passport behind closed doors in the community. Albert Barnes actually warns, it is impossible for a minister to overestimate the importance of having a fair character in the view of the world. No man should be introduced into the ministry or sustain it that has not a fair reputation. No amount of ability, accomplishment, achievement, or activity will substitute in the eyes of the lost for the moral integrity of the pastor. Without integrity, he is penniless in a world of tiring needs. Number three, his practical credentials. The pastor superintends the local church. He is not to arrogantly dictate to the congregation, but lead them in the ways of God and take the oversight. The pastor shepherds the flock, watches lovingly over them, and serves the local church. There is no contradiction when the pastor is charged to both superintend and serve. The greatest in the kingdom is still a servant. The pastor speaks to his congregation. He is a preacher and a teacher. His responsibility is to preach and pray. He speaks to the saints in the word of God and speaks to the sovereign in prayer about the saints. The good pastor will characterize as a student of the Word of God. A call to pastor includes the call to study. The pastor is a soldier. He leads his congregation in battle. His courage, concentration, consistency, and concerns are manifested in those who follow him. He fights the good fight of faith, follows the Lord Jesus, and flees the entanglements of this world. He organizes, operates, and observes his congregation in their constant warfare. The pastor is a sensitive man. No one should be more sensitive to the needs and problems of people than he. He is not arrogant nor abusive. He laughs with his congregation and weeps with them. He is genuinely interested in the people. No problem of need is insignificant. The pastor is a separated man. All who fill the pastor's office must understand that they are unique. They are distinctive. Therefore, the highest level of dedication and separation must characterize their lives. Lack of biblical separation by pastors has brought disgrace to many churches. No man dare enter the ministry until he has settled separation question for himself. Pastor is a strong man when others are filled with despair. Discouragement, disappointment, he demonstrates a strength which is not humanly possible apart from a daily dependency upon the Lord. He is not given to emotional highs and lows. He is steadfast and consistent. The pastor is a sensible man. He has the ability to carefully, cautiously, and compassionately view the work of the pastor's office. He has been given a large measure of common sense. This will be the last of your credentials, his professional credentials. Consider the pastor's professional credentials. For the local church, our ordaining council be charged with the responsibility for ordaining ministers, it is evident that these must be approved by their peers and parishioners. The scriptures teach the principle of accountability. Every minister must be accountable for his doctrine and deportment, not only to God, but to those who ordain him. The pastor needs acceptability from his peers and parishioners. Paul was accepted by the disciples in Jerusalem. Acceptability is necessary for effective ministry in any group. The pastor must sense that he is appreciated. Churches are to esteem their pastor highly for their work. You see, you're to walk in a way that will bring respect, not only from your peers, but from the congregation of the church also, and from those around even in which you live. Now, in conclusion, I know you think, well, why ain't we got there a long time? But we ain't done it even yet. The pastor teaches, teacher, as you see, you are a teacher. And you, when you accept this ordination, you have not only become a minister, but you have become a teacher also. It's a divine gift to the church. Most writers believe the pastor is one individual with a twofold ministry. Those who tend the flock must also teach the flock. The idea of pastor engages in a juridic ministry, feeding the saints on expository preaching, giving them the rich food of the word, thereby prompting the church's internal development, discernment, and dedication to which leads to new radical growth as well. Now you understand why I've been having you come and teach on Sunday morning. It's to get you, because you also have to stand and prove it, that you have been doing now. Okay. Now, we're going to get ready and close out with the benediction. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the ministry kept secret since the world began, and now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You are now ordained as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this church, the Lighthouse Ministry.
All right, Pastor. Congrats.
Thank you.
I didn't get no one case from her.
What?
You made me no one case.
You was on the road. You wasn't even here.
See how you are.
I would have liked, actually, to have made your case, but I didn't have time. Because, see, that's another line of my work, is making trinkets. I make picture frames and all. And I make some that you hang on the wall. I've got one that's 20 by 16. And it's got one long section that I put one of these light catchers in, and then on the other side, it's got place for 2 5x7 photos, and you hang that on the wall. And I've got some that'll hold just 4 pictures, you know, make them all different kinds and sizes and things that way. I've been woodworking most of my life. All right, now, you know, we've put you through a lot this past year because the way that this ministry was set up, you had to serve a year as deacon before we could ordain you. And we got you close to that. But today that the good Lord told me he was calling you to the ministry, you know, I talked to you about that. And I told you to be sure and talk to your wife about it. Just like with Brother Dan. Dan wanted to be here to be with you. He has really been tied up. But then he had that funeral service this afternoon, so he couldn't make it. And like I say, it was so far away that he couldn't make it at the time it was set for him to be back here in time. So I looked for him to see you Sunday morning, if possible. He hasn't yet really talked with his wife, Angie, to see what she thinks about him becoming part of this ministry and taking deacon's place. And hopefully one day we can get this one sitting over here in as a deacon. Because the church needs to grow. We're living in a day and time. We're living in the last days of time. And we're seeing everything that God told us to watch for. Most of it has already happened and taken place. And what hadn't already happened is going on right now. As far as what we were to watch for his coming for the church. You see, a lot of people are looking for God to come, but they're just looking for his second coming when he's coming back to earth. But that's not what we've got to worry about. What we've got to worry about is his next coming for the church. And that's not very far off. And more and more and more, pardon, of mankind is finding that out. That it's not as far off as what they'd like to think. And we better be ready. Because when he comes to the church, he's not coming all the way back to earth. He's coming on a cloud. And he's going to call his church out of the world. And those that are ready will meet him in the air. And then they'll go and be with him for a short period of time until the end of the tribulation period. Pardon me. Got a bug in my throat. Anyway, and then at the end of the tribulation period, he will return to this earth to set up his kingdom. For 1,000 years, he will rule this earth, 1,000 years. And those that have went with him and those that have gone on now will be coming back with him when he sets up his kingdom to be with him for that 1,000 years. You see, what mankind is not understanding is you're not going to die. People says, oh, yeah, they die every day. No, they don't. They haven't done that since the church age began on the day of Pentecost. What they do is move. You see, this body is a temple or a tabernacle, depending on which way you want to look at it and how it's living. If it's living for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a tabernacle because he is living in. You see, that's why we have all of this to go through in order to be what he calls us to be. It's because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the Father. We've got the deity of the Godhead living inside of us. And one day, I'm going to step out of this body, and I'm going to enter that celestial body, that heavenly body, that spiritual body, which is not going to die, and go on to be wherever I'm going to spend eternity. Now, if I'm right with him, then I'm going to spend my eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I'm not right with him, I'm going to spend... Well, here in a few years, well, if my body goes back to dirt, which it will when I leave it, when I move out, and mankind calls it die, when I do what they say die, my body's going to go back to dirt. My spirit's going to go on to be with him. That's why the scripture tells us to be absent from this life is to be present with God. That's if I've been right with God. If not, I'm going to be in hell. Sitting there with demons, all them little demons and Satan. I don't want that. Because you see, at the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it's going to be what they call a great white throne judgment. And then everyone that has not been right with God will be judged. And they, Satan, his demons, and hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire. And the scripture tells us where the worm never dies and no way out. You spend eternity in that lake of fire. That's not what I want. That's what none of us should want. But we got to be right with him. We're told how to be. So we've got no excuse for not being. right and ready when he comes. And I'll tell you, the night that September I turned 88 years old. I was supposed to have left this life at 33, according to man. Sent home to die within 2 days from the hospital. But God put me back in a body that was completely healed, called me into the ministry. He'd been taking care of me ever since. And he'll take care of you if you'll do what you are supposed to do. But we all have a choice. He'll call us, but we don't have to answer him. Mankind can go ahead and walk the ways of this world out here, and he can follow Satan, but there's only the two choices. Think about that. Two choices. You're either going to walk with God or you're going to walk with Satan. There ain't no other choice. But it's up to you to choose how you're going to walk and how you want to spend eternity. Me, I want to spend it with him. There was a time I was like everybody else. Back up until I was 33 years old, right up until the time that I went into the hospital, you wouldn't have wanted to have known me. And I'm not joking.
Me either.
I was just that bad. All you, as little as you are, you couldn't have been too bad. Oh. Ask my kids. They're all grown now. Well up in years. Ask them how many times they've drugged me out of my car. Had a Chicago contract put out on me. 5 men caught me on the side of the highway to kill me. I left 5 laying in a ditch. The sheriff come along and found them and called me at home and told me, he said, Tony, I know this is your work. Next time you make a mess like this, you clean it up. Don't leave it for me. And I had gotten to the point I was averaging 30 cans of beer a day and staying cold and sober. And I'd just soon to shook your hand, or fault with you is to shook your hand. That's the way I was living. Until I met God. But you see, that day that old angel of death walked in and got me by the hand, and I walked out of my bedroom looking down on my body. And I stood before the throne. And I heard my Savior intercede for me. Couldn't understand what he said, but he spoke for a period of time. And when he quit, the figure holding me by the hand turned with me. We started away from the throne. The voice from the throne spoke to me and told me, says, you've got 1 year. And I took that like most men take it. Well, he's giving me a year to get everything ready because I had a family. And then I'm going to die. But that wasn't what it was all about. A year to the day that I was sent home from the hospital to die, I was ordained into the ministry. But even that year, he'd been using me in the ministry. Because after he brought me back and put me back in my body and they healed, 2 weeks later, I was 1,200 miles away from home holding a revival. How the man even knew where I was and how he knew my phone number, I'll never know. But he did. You've got some things coming right now. Probably going to shake you up. My first 3 years in the ministry. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to really understand. And your wife too. Because she's going to be there by your side. So she's going to be seeing all of this. First 3 years of my ministry, he kept me scared to death. I've been many a service. Ain't no telling what I looked like. Because I had been raised in the church, in a denominational church. But the church I was raised in didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They said that all died when the apostles died. But then it just started, really. Started with the church age on the day of Pentecost. That's why you and I carry the gifts today. That's why we can pray for healing and see it done. That's why we can walk in healing, in divine healing. I've been walking in it 55 years now. I don't have to be sick to go home. All we have to do is say, son, your work is done. Come on home. And I'll go. We don't have to be sick. And these people out here, the afraid, walking in fear like they are today, wearing all these masks, all these pastors that shut their church doors, it was all because they didn't belong to the Lord God. Because he tells you in the 91st Psalms, I told you before, I know you've read it, but it tells you, 1,000 can fall at the left hand and 10,000 at the right hand, but that plague will not come near you if you belong in, nor your dwelling, because he takes care of us. I didn't close my church doors.
You got to pray that every day. You got to pray that Psalms 91. It's not just nice words. You got to really pray that and believe that every day.
Well, you got to believe it. That's the whole thing.
But it's a good thing to pray and read it every day.
Oh, yeah. And to remind it, because Satan will. Yeah, Satan will try to get you.
Oh, yeah.
He'll try to lead you astray. But you know, to become that child of God, which we have to be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, we know what it takes to be born again because we get that in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, tells us exactly what happens when we are. But to get to that point, we have to go and confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to no preacher or tell no preacher. I don't want to hear all your mess. Had enough of my own. You go to him. We have an altar to church, yes. And you come to the altar. But you go to him. Now, if he tells me to come lay my hand on you and pray with you or pray for you, I will. But I'm not there to hear your confession. I may be there to lay my hands on you to give you a little more power and to help you think of what you need. But you confess your sins to him, and then at the end of that confession, start thanking him for your forgiveness. And then you'll be baptized because you've got to put him on. And that's where you put him on. You see, I lay you back in that water. I'm burying you with him. You're putting on his death, his burial. When you're raised up from that water, you're being raised in his resurrection. And you're to walk in newness of life. Sin is to be out of your life. Then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when you are born again. And only then. Up until that point, you're a believer. Now, can one born again commit sin? I'm going to share that with you. Because I know a lot of them think, oh, Pastor, you just tell me tales. No. So we'll go back here to 1 John.
Got your Facebook page set up.
Huh?
Hey, Pastor. Got your Facebook page built.
In the third chapter, and here's what it says. Those that go to church that believes they can just go on and commit sin over and over and over, and Christ keeps forgiving them for that same old sin, we're wrong. Here's the Word of God. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, talking about Jesus, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, when he went to the cross, he took all the sins with him. He took all your sins with him. He didn't have any sin. And he had lived his life that way to show you and I that you can live your life without sin in it. Whosoever is born of God. Most anybody goes to church will tell you, oh, I'm born of God. But are they? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. But you look what a lot of our churches are teaching today. They're teaching contrary to the word of Almighty God. Pastor standing behind the podium going to hell and taking a congregation with him because he will not tell them the truth of God's word. Oh, people are talking about me. So what? They've been talking about me for years. They ain't changing me. Now, in this, the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. We're to love all mankind. And to walk that way. Salvation. All right. We're going to have, because of this ordination, we're going to have communion. For those that can take communion. We all know that if we're not quite right with God, we're not supposed to take communion. He tells us that also. We don't, a lot of times don't listen.
Well, we don't want to condemn ourselves, that's for sure.
But he tells us, this is what we're told. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. That's what communion is all about. It's to remind us and help us to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ went through so we could have eternal life and we could have salvation and become a child of God. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not disconcerting the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, they've done left this life. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So if we take a look at ourselves, we know what state we're in. A lot of times we don't want to admit it, but we all know exactly. And the Word of God tells us that on that night, the Lord Jesus took bread. He looked up to heaven and prayed. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take your bread." And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the Lord now add his blessing unto each one of us. Keep us, Heavenly Father, according to your will and your way. Never leave us alone, Father, but always keep us filled with thy Holy Spirit. Use us in great and mighty ways, Father, not to lift us up before man, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church here, Father, is yours. It's not mine. It's yours. You have me here as an overseer. Take it, Father. Do with it as you will. But use us, Father, that are here in great and mighty ways. Work through us to build this church and build it into what you want it to be. May we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Father, as we close out this day and this service, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because we know they're having very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we are lifting them up and praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place that he was in, Father, we ask you now, Father, to help us to remove from office those that are standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and against your people. And help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will work for the church and for Jesus and work with us and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list. As each name is spoken, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for our brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Pastor Eugene Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, my prayer is that they are walking close to the Lord Jesus Christ and walking filled with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. And the young man, Will, that has been ordained into the ministry, Father, my prayer is the Holy Spirit has been his teacher and that he is minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young pastor friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Brack Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these all, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, Father. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for the Taylor family, for my family, my wife's family, for the Powers family. And Father, for Karen, for Dennis, for Katie, for James, for myself, and for this young lady that is here today, Father, I pray that they all walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that they can all make heaven their home. I pray that they're in health and that each and every need that they may have is met by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. For Jimmy Emery, for Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a great and mighty way, Father, until they know that it was you that touched them and not mankind. Now, Father, be with us all as we prepare to separate and go our own separate ways. Walk with us, hold us, and guide us until we can come back together again Sunday morning, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless. Remember, everyone, God willing, we can be together Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. God bless now. Bye-bye.